Blog Talk Radio.
The following is intended only for mature audiences.
Ashley, you know where you're at. You're on Unscripted Radio, your guiltiest pleasure. I've got the most amazing people with me today. You know I always have the fabulous, the wonderful, the flirty, the fun, the fantastic Jeffrey Emmett right with me everywhere I go. Hey, Bo, what's up?
I'm sorry, I'm a little winded. I was just running through the house.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. And then I have the wonderful, the fabulous, the most amazing woman, one of the most amazing women we've met in a minute, Miss Daisy is with us.
Holla.
Holla. How are you guys? Happy whatever day it is. I don't even know what day it is. I don't even care. Does it matter? Nah. We're
really,
here,
don't
right?
Don't forget Big C.
Oh, Big C. Big C's here. Hi. Let me give you a BC, the legend, the myth. The man. BC is on the line.
All right, I like that introduction.
You like that? You like that? We've heard more about you before you got on the show than anyone else. So, I have to give you the legend, the myth, the man, you know. Your reputation is pretty fabulous, BC.
You didn't see any pictures, did you?
Not yet, but it's
okay.
Only a phone call.
They're out there somewhere.
Right.
I think I might have one stashed for emergencies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so
Chris,
that's the
Chris
thing.
Marin
I know
like
the girl
has
a phone call away. What was that?
I said Chris Barron has about 100 of them. I'm surprised. You know, we've got Chris
Barron, who's a little, but, you know, she likes to have fun. And
right.
We've got BC, who Karen is the complete opposite of all of us. I don't know what she wants to talk about. But this town.
That is funny.
He makes
You're
an impression
funny.
Everywhere he goes.
Hey, literally and physically, it's just what it is. Don't hate, congratulate. Congratulate people. You know, there's haters and congratulators. I myself am a congratulator. I like to,
thank you.
If you've got it going on, I'm a point it out. I like to put people on blast for positive reasons. That's why he's the legend. That's the legendary part of him. Miss Daisy, how have you been, my doll?
Good, honey, good.
Yeah?
This is Daisy.
How is life been treating you?
Good.
Yeah?
Working and such. And then, I have the scripted radio that I got to prepare for.
I know. I'm so excited for you.
Well, you know my boss, Karen Ashley, she's just, she...
That sounded hilarious. I even had to laugh at that. That's funny.
She beats me if I don't, get on point.
Oh, so. I lock her in her room. 20 laughs if you don't come up with a show idea. That was the case, Miss Katrina Johnson would be locked in her room and have 100 lashes every day.
Yeah, but she likes it. That's the difference.
Oh, see, I need to, do something that she wouldn't like. Like, take away her vodka. That would be now.
In a room with lesbians.
Huh?
Put her in a room with no vodka and lesbians.
Oh, right. See, this is the thing. If I took away Jeffrey's vodka, that would be punishment. That would be bad.
Girl, we'd be scrapping, okay? Your hair would be wet. I'm sorry. I will wild out.
I know, right? I know.
I'm keeping it easy tonight. I'm keeping it easy. Just a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I'm not... I think it's fine. I actually like Jeffrey. Like I told Jeffrey, I said, some of the co-hosts, when they drink, they either like slur their words, or we can't understand what they're saying, or they kind of ramble on. One co-host, which will remain nameless, you know, we've had a lot of people guesting, so it could be anyone. They kind of are more of the mean drop, so they'll say like kind of mean, kind of spiteful digs, and you're like, did they just say that? And Jeffrey, on the other hand, when he has a couple of drinks before a show, he actually talks. His energy goes up like 100%, and he's like really talkative, and he's got the most amazing adventures. So I actually am like, I don't want to promote it and go, I think you need to have a drink before the show. I'm just saying, I've noticed a difference in you.
Knows, I am kind of a, I don't know, I'm not too wild unless I have a toddy in me. And once the toddies start flowing, y'all better buckle up.
Uh-oh.
That's for sure. It gets a little crazy.
Right.
Oh, well, not no more. Years ago.
Yeah, years ago.
Learned his lesson.
That's funny. See, I'm so lucky because, Jeffrey, you surrounded the show with, like, your oldest, nearest, and dearest. So I could really, like, if I needed to know something about you, call them up, and they probably would know.
especially BC
was
really my partner in crime for many years, especially in the beginning and towards the wild days. BC has seen everything. Michael has not. He wasn't a club kid with me. Christina was around a little bit. Midge was around. But BC really saw, like, when it was, like we were getting down.
Hey, Dan.
I did not bury anybody's, I promise.
Don't let him lie to you.
Right?
If they ever pick up that back gun on Jefferson, we're screwed.
Oh, man. That's the thing, too, about Katrina. Katrina brought in Daisy, so we know Daisy has some stories. We know Daisy knows the lowdown on Katrina. I kind of think Katrina wants to find out our deepest, darkest secrets. I really do, because y'all notice I haven't brought any of my friends on this show.
I know.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm planning on fixing that. No, you don't know. But I went trolling on your Facebook page. I found some friends, and we have a lunch date tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Since I'm here in L.A., I figured I might as well catch up on some of the scoop. And it just so happened, I chatted up with a few of your Power Ranger friends over the weekend.
Oh,
and, girl, I heard some stuff about you.
Yeah, this all lies. Because I'll tell you, I was the squarest person on the show. I don't even have
I heard about you rolling into that set hungover like a sumbitch.
What?
I heard about it. I heard you may still been drunk.
I wish I would have lived my life on the edge. That's my only regret. Like, I was sitting there thinking one day, I was like, you know, I could have just did a little bit more. I was so serious. Like, I was so serious about work, and I was too serious at a young age. Now
well, it's
I'm
not a bad thing.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, I think that's how it works, you know. Like, if you're more responsible in your younger age, which I wasn't, you know, you kind of build a life for yourself so that when you're our age now, you can kind of enjoy life a little more, and you're a little more comfortable, and you kind of got your shit together. So you have that ability now to let loose a little more, whereas I'm still trying to build stuff, you know.
Well, what's Katrina's
excuse then? I think that's true financially.
Yeah.
Like, but I think, from knowing yourself, I think you, like, learn a little bit more when you, like, because I lived on the edge a little bit, you know, and I think you do learn a little bit more about yourself in certain circumstances, you know, not naming any circumstances, but.
Miss Stacey, what about you? Were you a partier, or were you the responsible one?
No, I've always been the responsible one. Don't get me wrong, I like to party, but it was funny because you were talking about that, saying that, you know, later on in life you kind of wild out a little bit more and you're responsible, and I kind of said, well, what's Katrina's excuse? Because she was like me. She was exactly like me. That's why we got along so well. You know, her dad's pastor, you know, my dad was conservative, so we kind of got that same background. So growing up, it was kind of like, you know, we both started expanding our group of friends. so to speak, together. You know, we started, all of a sudden it was, she knew a guy at a bar, and I didn't, you know, I was 17 when I graduated high school, and I started college when I was 17. So she was older. She was 18. So it was just, yeah. So, you know, she would be like, come on, let's go here. And we would get plastered and then go back to class. And we were just shit-faced, drunk in class so many times that the teacher's like, are you guys ever going to be sober? And we would just start giggling because it was the funniest shit. And that's something that, like, we had to, like, go through. But, like, you know, throughout it all, I think I've remained a little bit more responsible. And I let her kind of wild out more. And she knew that I was there to take care of her. So it always worked out because I never liked being that girl that was, like, shit-faced drunk. I liked to have a good time, be buzzed, whatever, whatever. But then, you know, kind of go, okay, it's time to go now. And Katrina's like, woo! Hell no, Beyonce, I'm staying. And I'm like, oh, hell no. You ain't staying. Come on. But that's a very interesting story because I've always wondered what is it about people and why is it that some people, like when they get like to a certain age, I mean, I think it's like freedom. You kind of get freedom when you get to college or you get freedom when you get to a certain place in your life. Why is it that some people go buck wild and some people just kind of, like they still have fun, they still party, but it's never that crazy. Like what is it in you that you go, oh, I'm about to rock it till the wheels fall off?
Well, I know for me, like, I grew up in a house where there wasn't drinking. I didn't see partying. I never saw anybody wild out. Like, it was, you know, my mom just didn't allow it. I mean, she's never been a drinker. I never really knew my father to be a drinker. I mean, my grandparents had a bar when I was a little kid, and I remember, like, you know, they lived above the bar. But I was very shielded from all of that, so I didn't see any of it. So when I got a taste of freedom, you know, and I always saw my parents struggling with money and not getting the things that they wanted, you know, because she had three kids to take care of. And I just vowed that I wasn't going to be that person. So when I hit like 17 and 18, I went balls to the wall, spent every dime I had, never saved, never thought about my future. I mean, I made a lot of money working at the club and the other jobs I had. Like, I had a lot of dough go through my hands, and I blew every rent cent of it. And I have no regrets. Like, I mean, it may have fucked me over now. And, I mean, it just, in the last couple of years, I just cleaned up my credit, you know? Like, I had bad credit forever. And I didn't ever really get that that's important, you know? Because I was too busy living in the moment and having fun because I felt like I, you know, my mom struggled and had to be responsible. And I never saw her really let her hair down. So I had to go to the opposite spectrum. And then as I got older, I found a happy medium.
So it's kind of like, kind of not a really a rebel, but it was a rebel in the sense that you didn't really ever see that, and you were like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to become them. I don't want to be, not to say they were boring, but you were just kind of like, I want to live a little, you know?
Right, well, I mean, I remember, like, the first time I had a drink, like, oh, I thought beer was disgusting, I didn't like liquor, I did not like to drink, I felt it was wrong, like, you know, my conscience was horrible. The first time I tried weed, I was so sick. I mean, I remember I was, and it was all around the time that that dirty boy came into my life, and the one that went to prison there, the ex. And I smoked pot for the first time with him, and I remember going into the bathroom, trying to look in the mirror and, like, focus on my face because everything was spinning so bad. So I hated it. I hated drugs. I hated alcohol. And then I kind of just eased myself into everything, and you know, I just wild out. And then it wasn't until, like, 21 where I started, like, drinking obsessively. Because, like, at 20, I had a child living with me and was raising a child, was in a relationship. And then the child was gone, the relationship was over, and I had nothing. So my kind of partying was more me trying to self-medicate and going a little wilding out and crazy and trying to forget that, like, I had this, like, little family for a year, and then it was over. You know, like, I moved into the house I grew up in, and I wanted to be my mother. Like, we had Christmas. We made Christmas cookies. The house was decorated. Like, you know, it had to be perfect.
Right.
Just
yeah,
how
I had
she gave it to us.
In the nativity set, because I broke the head off on one, but we got that.
Yeah,
bitch.
This son of a bitch, he, was, they were all getting busy with it. They were on my little, you know, I had one of them yoga ball things or whatever, and they popped it, and then somehow they threw it and broke the head off my wise man. So they decided to go to Ken now.
Christina threw it to me. I tried to kick it back to her. She missed it. It hit the lineman and broke his head off. So we just got a Ken doll. So I just found a Ken doll and I broke his head off and I got the Ken doll's head back on the other wise man. He didn't even notice. But there was
that's where I went to put it away.
Ken doll head.
Oh my goodness. That's a funny thing. You guys have like old school stories. Like that's hilarious. That is hilarious.
Oh, I mean it was sad. And after the kid left I had this huge house and I was all alone. So every night would be a party, and I would call Christina and be like, can you go, I'd be at work, and she wasn't working, can you go clean the house because people are coming over? I mean, literally the whole kitchen table would be covered in beer. It was a huge kitchen, huge counters. I mean, beer bottles would be everywhere. We had this obsession with this big bucket. Have you heard of it? Have you seen it at the liquor store? It's a big margarita bucket, and you just mix a whole bottle of tequila in it. Fantastic stuff.
Wow. I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen one of those.
Oh, maybe I have to ship one out so we can hit the big bucket next time I'm in LA. When I get home, I'll check the liquor store. I think there's one around the corner, girl. Before I go, we're going to kick it big. You're going to be cussing me out for a week, though. I'm sorry. Your man's going to be like, what did you do to my girl?
Right. You're going to be at the hospital with me getting my liver transplant.
It did receive me. Like, I have been known to cause those kind of situations. When I lived in Arizona, I went to be reformed, and I ended up going out with the director of the daycare center I worked at, and she had to call her husband to come get us because we went to, like, four different bars, and she had to call in to work on Monday because she was still drunk from Friday. I mean, it was bad, like, and she's sitting there, she's like, you are such a bad influence, and I'm like, you know, how many times I've been told that in New York, and it must be true of people in Arizona are telling me the same thing. I just want everybody to have fun, and I feel like at some point you have to let your hair down, especially when I see somebody who's uptight, and they're just, you know, they need to just relax. And like, you, Karen, are kind of that person to me where I'm like, it's my goal to get you hung up.
But you know, that's where you got me completely confused, because I actually have a lot of fun, but it's just, you always catch me in a work setting, you know.
Well, I know you have a lot of fun, but I want to see you get shmammied and dance, shake your ass, and just be like, I don't give a fuck.
Shake my ass and do all these things, and I won't even have one drink. People will be like, you're not drunk, and I'm like, no.
But we'll see. We're finally going to get to let our hair down.
Huh?
We'll see.
Okay.
We're about to finally let our hair down now that the shoot's coming to an end. So we'll see, Mary. We'll see.
We'll see. That is hilarious.
I might need you to catch a plane out here.
No.
I'm looking at it.
You know? He's trying to recruit everyone to come to L.A. Like, he is on a mission to recruit everyone. He's out here having a great time, and he wants everybody else to have a great time, too.
Well, and it's Katrina's fault, because she said you're going to end up with a spin-off reality show.
Right here. Well, it's Katrina's fault. Blame the girl who is sleeping.
I mean, years ago, everybody was like, you need a reality show because the shit that goes on in your life is kind of batshit crazy. And now here we are. Except it's not showing, like, everything. I mean, not that it doesn't really get crazy like it used to could, but it's still just like people, you know, you just, especially like for Katrina on the outside looking in, she's sitting there like, what the fuck is wrong with these people?
I think it's totally different. I think she's just like, great, they're just like me. Finally, I have found my soulmate. Thank you.
That's true. She is working hard.
Right? I don't
she's
think
working hard at becoming an MS.
She sits with family. She sits in love.
It's true. You were telling that whole story, and I was thinking, oh, my God, he is exactly like Katrina. It's over. Karen, say goodbye to your liver. It's non-existent at this point. It's gone bye-bye. It's
nice knowing it. Right, I know.
I mean, I don't know how many times.
Make it so far. Yeah, sure. Like, I'm lucky he's allowed me to keep my liver this far, this long, you know?
You're welcome. I mean, you're going to have to worry about your liver and kidneys, and you're really going to have to send a little prayer up to heaven to say thank you for letting them hold out for the weekend, because it's about to be on, sister. And I'll tell you what, as bad as my back is, and it's very devastating, because at the wedding I realized I can't dance anymore. Like, I just, my body's just too screwed up. I've got to lose this weight. That's the next mission, so that I can dance again, because, you know, my body's just not in sync anymore, and the muscles that used to be there aren't there. Hello, because they're covered in fat. So mama can't do what she used to do. But it is my goal to get back in shape, to get my dance on, and to go out, and me and you's going to throw down like sons of bitches, because I know you can dance like a mofo.
Oh, I can dance. That's one thing I can do in my life is dance. Like, if I didn't learn how to do anything else, I did learn how to dance, so.
Well, the benefit's coming up in October, and we got to do us a little number. So you're going to have to give me a very low impact. Maybe we'll move our arms and not so much the rest of us. A little group number.
How about we start practicing now so that, you know, we can have a high impact routine by the time it gets here?
No, I'm not so sure how this all works.
No? Not quite?
No, I'm going to be doped. I'll have to wear a back brace, knee braces and shit, hiding it under pantyhose. Like, it's not going to be cute.
Oh,
could you see me trying to bust out like some really big dance number in a muumuu and some pig slippers?
I could see it, but I'm not going to allow you to wear a muumuu. Like, ain't nobody going to be on stage with me with a muumuu. I'm just saying, it's a rule.
Unless you can afford to buy the big girl outfits that I've seen big girls wear and was like, oh, that's actually kind of cute. Girl, it's a muumuu, because mama, there's a few things. There's a few, I'm not shaving my legs. I'm not even sure that I could do heels anymore. And I love, that was my favorite thing. That's the only thing I really love, was that wigs and the shoes. Oh, God, I'm so jealous of you, girls. Like Oprah, that girl, she was blaspheming when she would carry her shoes to that stage, sit down and put her shoes on, and only so she had to stand up, sit down, and she wouldn't walk in them. That was, she was straight blaspheming.
Well, you know, she said, like, she'll be honest, she'll be like, these shoes are just to go and sit down shoes, and then these shoes I can walk around to. Like, she ain't even shame. Like, she's that lady who would take her shoes off in a minute, be just barefoot, walking around the studio. She's a rich bitch. She's
some
like,
shoes are just meant to be
I own this bitch. I ain't got to wear no shoes to this.
Girl, that's dead wrong. Because there was a nightclub that I did work at. We had a tea party for Menagels. Early in the afternoon. It was probably about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I had to get in drag quite early in the morning, and then be in drag all along, because after the tea party we had happy hour, and then we had the normal show night. I was in drag for over 12 hours, and I had hooker heels. You know, the stripper shoes, 8 inches with the platform. Wore those all day.
Been there, done that.
You know what though, I like that. Except when I tried to run in them, and then I was hosting the show, and something fell or something, and I had to get down on my knees. Girl, I could not get back up with those shoes. Somebody had to help me up. I couldn't do it. I'm like, how the hell am I supposed to get up off my knees with these shoes on?
I know. It's like a teeter-totter. You got to have your balance. You got to use your core to get up off the floor with those shoes.
I wasn't even going to try because I was drunk. And I was in front of everybody hosting the show. I'm like, come here, boys. Come help mama up, because this ain't going to work out in my favor. And I had already wiped down the stairs and locked my wig once, so I wasn't about to try to do it again.
So tell me something. When you do drag, do you really become someone else? Do you feel like you're someone else?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I did in the beginning.
Yeah?
I didn't even realize I was until everybody was like, when you start doing drag, you just become a rotted bitch. And that was kind of my thing. Like, I'm just a nasty bitch because I'm wrapped up. I'm in saran wrap, cinchers, and girdles, and everything. My hair is bobby pinned into the wig, and, my breasts is duct taped up sometimes, and you know, you had to shave everything, and you're wearing heels that hurt like hell, and you know, you've got to, like, I'm like, you know, people just look at me, and I would, you know, they would just run, because they knew, like, don't fuck with me, because I will take this heel off and spike you in the face, like, no.
Oh my gosh. So you were pissed off. Like, you were pissed off because you were uncomfortable, basically.
Well, it's like 5 pounds of makeup that you can't get off. Like, it gets in your pores. You know, men have hairy faces. When you shave, and you're putting pan stick on, and then powder, and then the makeup, like, it sucks.
He said pan stick.
you use pan stick, don't you? Well,
I don't use pan stick makeup. I use like a powder foundation.
Well, you're a girl, so it's a little easier.
Oh, it's actually very light.
When you're trying to cover a 5 o'clock shadow, it don't work.
Well, yeah, that's true. I guess you would need a pan stick to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings up another really good topic. Like, do you feel in your life that you have somewhat of an alter ego? Not that you, like, become this totally different person, but obviously at work you're one way. Are all of you able to, like, transform yourself into someone else? And maybe that someone else is your true self, but, you know, life itself, you know, with responsibility, sometimes you can't be your true self. Do you feel like you have an alter ego? Anyone?
I certainly do.
What was that?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Well, I used to do drag with Jeffrey.
You did? I didn't even know this. Okay, so what was your drag name?
Brianna,
okay. So how is Brianna different from Brian? Like, how is she different?
Oh, God, I don't know. Because Brian really isn't, you know, like, I partied a little bit with Jeffrey, but I think I ride the edge of, you know, party animal, but still responsible. Like, you know, I've always kept a job. I try to go to school. I try to read books.
You always
had
money.
And I because I always had, like, three jobs.
Yes. And would go to the party. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I was that girl. Like, I always had a job. I always worked. I always did something. I would be freaking bored. But I partied just right there with all my friends. Like, I was right there.
You just did it wrong. That's why you got to get a job at the party so you can party and get paid.
Oh, that's true.
See, damn, I
should have
did that.
See, but this is the difference, Jeffrey. You said a big key factor. He always had money. Did you?
Well, my problem was that I always blew my money on my friends and going out. And it wasn't even really spending it on alcohol at that point. Like, it was just other stuff. Like, I had a whole apartment full of rented furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never put money away to buy nothing. So everything I owned wasn't even mine. It was a rent-a-center place.
Oh, gosh, the Rent-A-Center. You were paying rent. You had loans out the Rent-A-Center.
It wasn't Rent-A-Center, but, it was one of those places, and it was like,
right.
I think the bill was like $300 a month.
Oh, my goodness.
Damn.
I know you paid for that TV like 10 times. You know this, right?
Oh, no, I didn't ever rent a TV. I just had, like, all the furniture, like the bedroom, the living room furniture, and, like, the kids' kitchen stuff. But, like, I had my own TV, but... it was just nuts, you know. And then my rent was $400. And at the time, my full-time job, I was only getting paid $800 a month back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that was all gone just on the apartment. So the rest of the money was what I used to live off of. I didn't even do that well. Especially when I got skinny because I came a clothes whore. So that's all I ever did with my clothes because I never had that option.
Mm-hmm.
But you remember, girls, y'all have Steve and Barry's out there?
No, but they had the Stephen Barry, like, for a hot second in Texas. And it was, like, inexpensive clothing, but you still had, like, it was nice stuff. But
that was the whole wardrobe. It was, like, $7, $7.99 for a hoodie, jeans, whatever. And, I just bought everything from there because I was like, why am I going to pay $25 for a pair of jeans when I go get them for $7 and nobody knows the difference?
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
Especially when you're older, it's not like it doesn't matter. I think when you're younger, that kind of thing matters. But when you're older, as long as you're cute, I've noticed that even in this city is very big on labels, very driven on wealth, money. It is what it is. Like you, it won't be shocking to see someone walking up the street and they've got, you know, $3,000 shoes on, and you know they're the real thing, and you're kind of like, how did that girl get that? Like. What, you know, it's like, really? Like $3,000.
Okay, now
that is
just asinine to me. Like, you're an asshole.
I'm going to take you around just some places now that we're almost at the end of the shoot, and there's like just wealth. Like, there's just money. Like, you just walk next to someone, and you're like, that's just money. Like, you can just smell it. And they could be in jeans and a t-shirt, but you can just see the money in the way that they carry themselves.
Okay.
And it's
mark
crazy.
My words.
Yeah.
This show gets picked up, and I make crazy money. I will never, I would never buy a pair of sneakers for $3,000 because if I would never wear them outside the house.
Okay, you guys mark the word.
I don't care how much money you have, but that's such a waste of money. I could be taking care of my family and friends and going places. Like, what the hell do I need $3,000 sneakers for? Now, I'm talking about some high heels. You're going to buy you some shoes with the red bottoms and spend $3,000. Maybe that's another story. But sneakers, come on. They better have diamonds in them.
But, I mean, Daisy can attest to this. Daisy, you live in L.A. She can attest to this. And especially because I know, like, where Daisy lives is kind of in the suburbs. But it's like, even out there, there are people that have just, like, big, huge homes. And it's, like, crazy money. And then you come to L.A. and come to Beverly Hills, and it's even crazier money. Like, it blows you away. And the crazy thing that I found is that I ran in many different circles, whether they're rich, poor, middle class, whatever. And I noticed as long as I'm dressed the way I want to dress and I feel good about how I want to be, I still get compliments on my $10 T-shirt. You know, I still get compliments on my, you know, $5 knockoff sunglasses or whatever it is that I bought in downtown L.A., you know, because I'm like, look, I just can't do it. I can't buy the $500 pair of sunglasses because I'm going to sit on these bitches in about 10 minutes. That's just how I am. I'm going to put them in my head and, you know, be horrible.
I just can't justify spending that kind of money when I know people can't pay their light bill. Like, I think that's always going to be my problem. I hope that I never forget that, and I hope I never forget what it's like.
Right.
Because I just can't justify spending that kind of money when there's so many people that I know personally that are in need. You know what I mean? And that $500 could really make the difference for their kids or something. Like, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yes, I'm the bleeding heart. Somebody call Sally Struthers.
Remember her, Sally Struthers? That's hilarious. You just aged yourself. You just gave people your age. Because that's why
I
almost had to think of who the hell is Sally Struthers.
Are you kidding?
He totally aged himself, didn't he? Now we know kind of what year you were born in. Because only you could know that if you were a certain age. Jeffrey? Mm-hmm. So we
go
we never got you, Daisy. Do you have an alter ego?
Oh, kind of. Obviously, I said before, I work for the government, so obviously I can't be my loud and basically I can't be myself. Sometimes, like around a couple of people that I know and I get along with really well, I will be myself. I can be myself with my manager. I love her to death. She's the greatest person ever, mostly because she's exactly like me. So, but, yeah, it kind of sucks because sometimes, you know, I want to say, no, you can't do it this way. But my version of it, which is, oh, hell no, what are you thinking? And I can't really do that because, you know, people start writing me up for, you know, colorful work environment or some shit. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, I do have my professional side and then I have myself, which is the person that I am at home and, you know, with my family and stuff like that. So, but my thing, it's more work-related as opposed to an alter ego where I kind of just go out and I'm like, you know, a fabulous Daisy May or some shit.
Exactly. Okay, so the reason I found a really cool story that kind of ties into this. There was a woman recently, guys. She was labeled the Plain Jane Bandit. And this woman was like just a normal woman, you know, normal looking lady. And she would walk into a bank and either hand them a note or would say, give me the money. And they would, you know, she was robbing banks, but she was dressed just normally. She didn't have a mask on her face. She was very mild mannered. She would tell the tellers, you know, I have someone outside waiting. If you don't give me the money, you know, they're going to blow this place up or something, you know. And so they caught this woman, and it's like just a regular housewife. She's a housewife, and she would walk into banks, and she had no one sitting outside. Like, the balls that this woman had are amazing. They're like made of steel and platinum. So she would walk into the bank, and she would basically tell them, you know, but she wanted an eight bank robbery heist. And, you know, she had a very, she was, you know, described as having a very mild manner. She was unarmed, and she would just walk in there and ask them for the money, and they would give her the money because they thought, you know, somebody was outside. Like, she was convincing enough. It's like there are pictures of her, like surveillance pictures, and she's smiling. Like, she's standing at the teller, and you would think she's having a conversation with them. But this woman is supposedly, like, 38 years old. She is a housewife. She lives in Temecula, which is kind of like a suburb of L.A., and she's a mother of, I think, three. Her husband had no idea that she was robbing banks. She was by herself. Like, she'd go, honey, I'm going to the store, and would go and rob a bank. And
yeah, but were they, like, did they have
minutes.
Money? Or
yeah.
Were they, was she desperate?
No, I mean,
she,
I don't know.
She
if
just
she's
needed
desperate
some excitement?
It just, it's baffling to people because they, like, her husband didn't know about it, so it's not even one of those things. I think she was a thrill seeker. I think she kind of just wanted to go and do it, you know? And she said she would appear sometimes smiling in many surveillance photos and never appeared to, you know, banish a weapon, only a series of notes. So she would hand them a note, and she was nicknamed the Plain Jane Bandit because she was just so plain Jane. I think that would hurt my feelings if I'm robbing banks and I get called a Plain Jane Bandit. I don't know about you, Daisy, but that's like, that goes against the woman code. I want to be like the Fashionista Bandit.
Well, maybe they purposely did it because
or the hot
you
chick bandit.
If you see somebody comes in that's very plain looking, how else do you describe them besides Plain Jane?
Well, that's how I kind of stuck because one of the cops or one of the people, like, they questioned. So, well, she was just very plain Jane. But
well, she obviously knows a lot about psychology because, you know, when you watch, you know, certain people, we do, I mean, we don't want to say we're racist or we're sexist or any of those things, but those things on some level are just kind of like human traits and we have to overcome them. So, like, I think if somebody who's plain Jane just walks into a bank like that, even I would be like, oh, well, she's just a housewife or something. I wouldn't even think twice of that, but somebody, you know.
Right. Yeah, it started, like, her robbery spree started in July, and she was just hitting several banks. And I was thinking of the psychology. You know, I think, Brian, you and I have a connection on this. I always think of the psychology behind a person who would actually have the balls to do that. Like, she didn't wear a mask. She didn't have a gun. Like, there's always a guard in the bank. She just kind of walked in there and said, give me your money. And the teller would give it to her. Like, but it was at eight different locations. So there had to have been a way that she said it to seem so convincing. Or did she go to the old lady teller? Or, I mean, it's like, I really need to know how this went down.
Yeah, man.
But here's the thing.
I need to know every detail.
I used to work at a bank. And they specifically would tell us, like, if you get a note, don't give them the money. Like, it doesn't matter if they're there. Like, it's only when they show you a weapon that you can give them the money, but you can only give them a certain amount, and you have to give them, you know, the trick pack, basically, or the die pack.
Right.
So that and I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but it's a little pack that's in the money, and most people know. They'll tell you, like, the robber will put on the note, no funny money, which means, you know, they know that it's a pack that, you know, if they go outside the building so many feet, it explodes, and it's kind of like acid, and it burns, and it paints all the money red. So if you ever see money that has red on it, it's money that's been in these robberies.
Right.
But,
oh, my God.
Yeah. So if she was just giving them notes and they were giving her the money, I want to know what bank they were at because I know I was told that if I gave them money and they just gave me a note, my ass would be fired.
Right.
So,
well, maybe that was part of her psychology, though. Like, maybe she, when she walked in, she kind of looked for a teller who maybe was showing off signs of, like, that wouldn't do that or was lackadaisical or, you know, because you tell all that stuff just, in, you know, how you stand, how you carry yourself. So maybe she was really that in tune with it.
I want to know if they had those barriers, because, I mean, you know, some banks, and especially in L.A., they have those, you know, plexiglass barriers.
You can't even breathe the same air they're breathing. So I don't even know how she did it. It's true. Like, what you're going to find, Jeffrey, when I really get to take you out and explore the city, is that you go, wow, this there must be major crime, because the things, like, you'll go to a McDonald's and there's a huge, like, bulletproof, like, you can't even breathe the same air as a McDonald's worker. Like, it's like, it's just crazy. Like, you go to a, like, let's say you're in a certain neighborhood and you go to a public bathroom, you have to have a quarter to get in there, because they don't want the homeless people to go in there and take showers, you know,
yep,
or be in there for 5 hours. So you have to buy something, and they'll give you this little quarter. Like, it's like you go, wow, I'm not in Kansas anymore. Like, that was my big transition when I moved from Texas. I was like, this ain't Kansas anymore, because this is crazy. So, yeah, you brought up a good point. These big, huge, like, bulletproof, bomb-proof barriers, I don't even know how she would do it. Can't even know, but I would be like, girl.
I'm just pissed off the fact that, what if I don't have a quarter and I got to pee?
You need to go buy some fries.
Like, that's a
and
fucking problem.
You better have a diaper. My whole argument on that. You guys can go pee anywhere. We can't. That's what's fucked. You guys can go in a bottle. All I'm saying is, you don't need that quarter. We need it more than you guys.
Yeah, we do. And you just you go buy some fries,
no,
and they'll give you a quarter.
You
or they'll
pee out
you
public,
into the bathroom.
Mm-mm, you get in trouble. Oh, no, girl. I was with
yes, you
and you got in trouble. Oh, don't
really?
Do it. Just stay home. Oh, yeah, that's indecent exposure. You get caught trying to piss outside. Oh, girl, you're going down.
What? Really? You get it like a ticket? I'm sure that probably is that way out here, but we've got bigger crimes, so they never enforce that. Yeah, because I see
well,
people
I didn't
like
think
pulling over and having
here. We were out partying and all drunk, and one of our friends had to pee, so he ran over to the bush. And, of course, like, a cop just happened to be walking by, or I don't even know where he came from. And he, like, pulled him in and was, like, about to arrest him. We're like, officer.
Oh, damn.
And our friend's just like, no, I'll be out in a minute, or maybe. I'm like, officer, really? This is ridiculous. We're celebrating somebody's birthday. We're drunk. Like, what would you, you know, at least he was in a bush and not just had his dick waving out on the side of the street.
Right.
Yeah, there was a guy who actually went and tried to pee behind a bush on school property, and he was caught, and he's now, he has to list as, like, a registered sex offender because even though it was at nighttime, he was on school property, and so he was indecently exposing himself where children might play. Even though it was like midnight and there was
playground, anything like that. If you pee, that's
sex offender.
You become a sex offender. Yep.
Wow. Well, you know what? I saw this whole MTV thing where they had all these like young men. It was like they were all like 18, 19, 20. I think the oldest may have been 21. But it was like they all were registered sex offenders. But it was like it was all a technicality. Like, had dated this girl in high school, and she was a couple grades, you know, she was a freshman or whatever, or, you know, something like that, which is not unorthodox. A lot of seniors would date freshmen, you know, it's a huge age difference, I guess, if you think about it, maybe 4 years, 3 or 4 years difference. So he graduates, and they continue to date, but they had been dating for like a year, year and a half, and then the dad, I guess, thought his little baby girl, you know, he knew that they dated, but I don't think he knew it was as serious as it was, and, like, he didn't realize his daughter was having sex. So when he found out that this guy was having sex with his daughter, he went and filed charges, and this poor guy got labeled a sex offender. He was a registered sex offender.
Way too much.
He couldn't get a job. He it was so sad, and he was working with the lawyer, and, you know, the girl was still kind of in his life, and it was just a mess. Like, his life was a mess and was ruined, all because his dad found out his daughter was banging this dude, which, you know, they'd already dated a year and a half. So it was just that whole thing where I just was, like, shocked. I was like, wow. But it was sad because he couldn't get a job. He had to let these people know where he lived. He had to move. Like, he had no money. He was staying with an aunt or a cousin or somebody. And then when they found out that he was there, he had to move because he was too close to a school. And
see,
it was, like, several different instances that had kind of happened. And I just was like, wow. But you're right. It happens all the time. It's such a sad situation.
Well, and that's one of the problems with our system. Like, they need to fucking really rethink this shit, because you're ruining kids' lives. Like, especially if they've been dating when they were both underage and one of them ages out. I'm sorry, but you can't, that's not, you're not a sexual predator. But then we let these sexual predators who commit rape or molest children will go to jail for 3 years, and then they're out. But yet somebody that was dating, and that really wasn't a crime, are branded for the rest of their life. Like, it's ridiculous, and it's unexcusable, and it's really shame on our justice system.
Well, there was another guy around here, Wayne Sonny Jeffrey, where he had intercourse with a 9-month-old.
What?
A baby. Yes, yes.
What?
He had intercourse with a 9-month-old.
Oh,
and
he,
like, she had internal bleeding. Like, he almost killed her, obviously.
Oh.
And
yeah, I remember that story.
Like, he didn't get that. I think he's only got, like, 7 to 10 years in jail or something like that. And to me, like, the severity of that case, aside from being, like, a sex predator, to me, that's, like, attempted murder, because you could have easily killed that baby. And so you should be in for a lot longer than that. Whereas now you got these other people who are going to be on, like, the same level as this guy as a sex predator who peed behind a bush, you know, because they were drunk at 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
I think we have, like, this modern-day witch hunt going on. Like, even if you say somebody is a sexual predator, like, they've lost all their rights already. Like, nobody cares what they have to say. Like, and to me, that's not really America. That's not what we stand for here. But, like, somebody like that 9-month-old guy, he should never see the light of day again, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's disgusting.
There is something so severely wrong with you if you have sex with a 9-month-old baby. Like, you need to...
Right, you think?
Like, you need to go and die somewhere. Or you need the death penalty.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I just don't even know how you could be reformed. How do you fix someone that is that...
You can't. You can't. You cannot fix that kind of crazy. Like, some people are just hardwired wrong. And I think, again, that this is where the psychology comes into it, and they've been doing these studies, that somebody that does something that bad, they've done the brain scans or whatever the hell it is, where they're seeing that their nerves and whatever are shooting differently, and they have a different part of their brain active than other people.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is it like an alcoholic? Is it like a heroin addict? Like, what is it that makes these people have to do this? You know something's wrong, but you're still doing it. And there's no excuse for it, and I agree, like, he should probably just die. But I want to know why. How do you get to that place in your head where you think this is okay? Like, I just don't get it. I can't comprehend.
We forget some people are born sociopaths. And,
you
know, with a sociopath, they literally don't have a conscience. So, like, even though you're, like, this concept of, like, right and wrong is only, that's not real. It's only, like, about, you know, like, your own morals and stuff. And in order for you to develop that, you had to develop that part of your brain. And so, in those people, for whatever reason, whether they were traumatized or they were just biologically born that way, they don't develop that part of their brain. And so, there is no part of their body that goes, I wouldn't do that if I was you. You know, like, that's wrong.
Well,
don't do that.
Mike J.
Just kidding. I was like, I'm not
just
saying
kidding,
that.
And I'm going to get my belt out and smack you.
Just kidding.
I am going to get my belt out. I'm going to have to defend Michael. No, but I'm going to get my belt out and
I would have to defend Michael, too. I think Michael has, like, personality issues, like maybe a personality borderline disorder type thing, but sociopath is very, like, you're very far gone at that point.
It was a joke, bitches.
I know, we get so offended.
I know, Karen, you're the worst one. Like, I'll try to be like some sick, twisted fucking joke because, you know, I've got a worse sense of humor. And this bitch will be like,
oh no,
and it's like, bitch, why are you going to ruin the fucking joke? Like,
I already have a file on this computer, so I don't need to be part of the hit list either.
I know, right? What's the hit list? What is the hit list? I never heard about this hit list.
If there is a hit list, I don't know.
There's an email? What
did
email?
Look at the one that he saved about Brian. I thought he sent it to you, the letter.
Oh, yes. But you know what? I actually read that letter, and I have to say, it really gave me a glimpse into, like, it was almost like a movie. Like, it was, I mean, not, I'm so dramatic. You know, I'm very dramatic. I think everything's like a movie. But it was like a moment in his life that was so pivotal. Like, there was one line in there where he was like, he said something about, you know, being gay. And he was like, wow, I just wrote that on paper. Wow. Like, it was like a realization. It was like his moment where he was, I guess, was he coming out of the closet at the time? Or maybe going into acceptance phase of coming out of the closet. It was just a crazy thing. Like, I was like, it was actually a very endearing letter. Like, it wasn't creepy or, you know, we made jokes and said it was creepy. And
no,
it was
just a little Fatal Attraction, a little Glenn Close-ish. I'm just saying.
I think it was creepy because we already had this conversation and I was not interested in, you know,
multiple conversations.
So that's what made that creepy.
Oh, okay.
But I do remember the letter being, like, somewhat endearing. Like, I think that was a really good
really
word
sweet.
To you.
Like, he
yeah,
went,
no, it
he
was,
went,
but it was just, like, overboard.
He kind of went the route to, like, the endearing, he exposed a softer side of himself in order to pull you in. You're telling me that you guys have already had the conversation. You're like, dude, I'm not feeling you. And then you get this letter. That would have been like, oh, well, part of I'm not feeling you.
here's the thing. The other part of this is not only did Brian already tell him, it may have been an endearing letter, but in the process, anybody that was around Brian, Michael tried to get rid of them. Like, I mean, Brian and I were friends, and Michael continually trashed me and tried to destroy our relationship. And, you know, I mean, he completely trashed me to Brian's mom because I don't know if he thought I was a threat or whatever the situation was, but this is why it was Glenn Close-ish, a Fatal Attraction, because he wanted Brian to himself. So that letter can be endearing all you want.
Well, here's the interesting part to me. Like, everyone else is very vivid about this particular point in time and the letter and everything. And even I was just talking to my mother the other day, and she's like, oh, my God, I remember that, and was going on and on. And I'm like, why do I not remember all these things? Like, I blacked it out in my brain or something. Like, I don't know. It's so weird. Like, I do remember it, but it's not as vivid for me as it is for, like, a lot of other people that were around. And I think that might be because you guys were getting that weird part of the stick where, like, you know, let me push you away from Brian and tell lies about you, where that didn't happen to me. And I wasn't, like, he never let me know that, really. I mean, you guys told me about that, but.
Well, I mean, I can still remember you calling me saying, you're not going to believe you just gave me this letter, and then you, like, flew over to my house after work. And I can still see you flipping out and your hands going in your face, and I can see the intensity in your face. Like, fuck him. It's sexual harassment at the workplace. Like, you would be on living.
Oh, okay.
And
well,
I think
the thing that I think I was more mad about,
he handed it to you in front of everybody, and you walked out of a closet.
Yes. Right. And, well, I was, I'm bisexual, and this was in high school, so, like, I was just starting to, like, learn about that part of myself, so when that got outed in front of, like, him handing me that letter kind of, like, outed me a little bit to, like, the rest of the crew. And even if it didn't out me, it got people talking, like, you know.
At least got them thinking, like, going, Oh,
yeah,
that
what's
was
going on here?
Oh, I didn't see that so much deeper. Like, that's just, like, that shed so much light on that moment in your life.
Brian was already getting a lot of shit because he was hanging out with me and another friend of ours. You know, we were all gay. So, a lot of his friends were gay, so that already created an issue for him.
Right.
Well, I think in a lot of people, what they don't understand about me personally is that when I'm friends with somebody, I don't, like, I know you're a man or a woman, I know you're white or black, I know you're gay or straight, but, like, that's not what I look at you. Like, I look, are you a genuine person? Are you funny? Do you add something to my life? Do I add something to yours? Like, that's what I try to become somebody's friends, like, so, I mean, whether they're gay or black or purple or whatever the thing might be, like, I never look at that, so, you know, when everyone's like, well, all your friends are gay, and I'm like, well, a lot of them are, actually, that's because they're fun and you're not, to the fact that they're gay.
Right, it has no, like, you were hanging out with them merely because they were so much fun. It's like, come on.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's
yeah,
crazy.
Jeffrey is probably the funnest person I had ever met in Auburn, and still to this day is the funnest person I've ever met around there. Even Syracuse and all that.
Like,
yeah,
I can see that. I mean, my best friend in seventh grade, like, I remember him, and he's gay, and I remember walking into French class and just his energy. And for whatever reason, the French teacher, like, we were all kind of quiet first day of junior high, all kind of scared. No, the first period, right? And so for whatever reason, we were all kind of quiet, and she turned on some music. And we all got up and started dancing, and he busts the move. Like, he's now a professional dancer. When I say professional, like Alvin Ailey, like ridiculously
wow.
trained dancer. Yeah, ridiculous. So from that moment, I mean, we knew he was gay. Like, he was just over the top. He would be with the girls. I mean, he'd fight for us. I mean, whatever. Like, he was my boy to the end. And I remember the day that he came out, and he always tells me this, like, he just was like, you were the only one who had, like, you had no, like, he said, you had the reaction I needed everyone to have. I didn't need it to be a big deal. I didn't need it to be, like, we need to go talk. I didn't need prayer. Like, it was, like, it was so many different reactions. Like,
right.
And I was like, I just remember him telling me, I already knew. Like, I mean, you knew Clyde was gay. It was just what it was. And I remember him telling me, and I just, the look in his face and the strength that it took for him to say it, it was like almost that moment. And I go, okay. I said, are you happy? And he was like, yes. And I was like, okay, are we still going out tonight? And he was like, yeah, bitch. And it was like, we just kept it moving. And he was like, I needed that. I just needed it to be like you. It, there was not even a flinch. Like, you didn't flinch. You were like, okay, all right. Are you happy?
Right,
okay, good.
Okay,
let's go. Right, but we're still going out, right? Are we going to sit here and cry? Like, I didn't know if you were going to, like, do we need to sit and cry? Or, you know, I was going to give him this moment if he needed a moment. He was like, no, bitch, let's go. And so to this day, he was like, you're the only one who gave me that. You gave me the reaction I needed. I just needed it to be. It just needed to be. It didn't need to be anything
right.
other than what it was. And so.
Well, I think that's why gay people, you know, and I'm not trying to, like, pigeonhole people, but I think that's why they tend to be a little bit more fun because,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, after trying to live something that you're not for so long, when you actually have a group of people where you can just be yourself, you
mm-hmm.
know, it's like a joy beyond, you know, words.
Right.
Yeah,
so, no,
actually,
I
still remember Jeffrey's actually the first person that I ever even told I was bisexual. Do you remember this, Jeffrey? Hello.
Jeffrey, I think he's in the chat room.
Oh, okay.
Me and Davey are listening to you, Brian.
Okay. Oh, no wonder why nobody can hear me. I'm sorry, my cheek accidentally hit the mute button. I apologize.
I'm lying.
But Brian, I remember we were sitting at the neighbor's table, and like I don't know if you were my straight friend. I was devastated. You were devastated? Well, because you were, like, my straight friend, and you were like, oh, guess what? I'm like, fuck, I turned another one. Like, you know, it seemed to be a problem in my life. Every straight guy friend that I had ended up, you know,
we were watching Margaret Cho the night before, and she was doing a skit about how she had gone on this cruise, and, you know, she had a boyfriend, and, like, it didn't work out for her, and then she goes on this cruise, and she sees a few women, and, you know, she realizes she has feelings for them, and then she's sitting in her cabin, and she's like, oh, my God, am I gay? Am I straight? But I like men, but I don't know. And then she's like, and then I came to the realization that I'm just a big slut. And so when I came over to Jeffrey's house the next day, I said, I have to tell you something. And he was like, what? And I was like, I'm just a big slut. And he was like, no. I'm like, yep.
That's funny. I always say this. I always go, are bisexual people bisexual, or are they stingy? Like, they're just taking them all. That tells me a lot about you, Brian. I just think you're stingy.
No. If you are bisexual, you have 100%.
I'm only joking.
Yeah, no, it's funny.
Oh, my God. No, but I always tell me say that because I have a really good friend who's bisexual, and I used to say, you're just stingy. It's not fair that we can go anywhere and you can pick up on anybody. Like, we can go to a all-girls gym and you get to hook up. And then we go, you know, to a freaking auto zone and you get to hook up. Like, it's just not fair. You've got options all over the place. It's just unfair. But,
You know what's not fair?
It's that this is over.
Then we got to go.
I know. My heart is cracking as we speak. Everyone, if you don't know, you can still donate. Go to www.unscriptedradio.com/donate and you can donate. We are going into editing. So, you know, obviously this reality world, we got it shot, we got it in the can, but we need money to edit this puppy. So thank you for listening. Thanks, guys.
Yes.
Take a little time to enjoy the radio.
Unscripted Radio, your guiltiest pleasure.
Woo-hoo.
And make sure you go to unscriptedradio.com and listen on demand to your favorite past episodes. And remember to go check out our Stitcher app that you can get for your Android phone or your iPhone. Hey.